Welcome back to the PwC Podcast. Are you ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Today we're going to be looking at Romans 1:1-8:32.
Oh, yeah.
It's a passage that explores what happens when humanity rejects God.
Big topic.
It is a big topic.
Yeah.
We'll be unpacking some pretty insightful concepts. And,
Like what?
we're going to see how this ancient text is relevant to us even today. So much to look forward to.
I think this passage, it's really a fascinating exploration of the human condition and how the choices that we make
Right.
impact our relationship with God.
I mean, it's amazing to think that these words were written almost 2,000 years ago,
Crazy.
and they still apply to our lives today. So let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
Romans 1:1-8:20,
Okay.
that focuses on God's wrath.
Uh-oh.
I think this concept can be easily misunderstood.
For sure. I think a lot of people, when they hear wrath, they immediately think of like
Yeah.
an angry, vengeful deity. But actually, in this passage, God's wrath, it's not like that. It's portrayed as a natural consequence, a response to humanity suppressing what is clearly evident.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do you see this suppression of truth playing out today in our lives?
Yeah.
What specific truths are we turning away from?
Well, just look around us. Look at creation, all the intricacies of nature. You've got the vastness of the universe, and then you have the small intricacies of a single cell.
Yeah.
There's this undeniable sense of design, there's intelligent order there. And yet we see people attributing this to mere chance, even
Yeah.
elevating science to a position where
Wow.
they try to explain away the need for a creator. It's like ignoring the most obvious explanation that's right in front of us.
It's almost like we've developed this sort of collective blindness, and we're
Yeah.
choosing to ignore God's fingerprints all around us.
Precisely. And you know what? This leads us to another consequence of rejecting God: idolatry.
Okay.
Now, it might be tempting to think about idolatry just in terms of physical statues, or ancient rituals, but Romans is speaking about something much deeper.
So if it's not about bowing down to golden calves, what does idolatry actually look like in the 21st century? What are some of the modern day idols that we might be worshiping without realizing it?
Idolatry at its core is about putting anything above God in our lives. It's about making something else the ultimate object of our worship,
Yeah.
our devotion. It could be anything. It could be money, success, relationships, even getting approval on social media.
Social media, yeah.
These things, they may not seem inherently bad on their own,
Right.
but they become idols when they consume us, when they dictate our actions, and when they take precedence over our relationship with God.
I think you're painting a very clear picture of how subtle this can be. We live in a culture obsessed with achievement,
Oh, yeah.
status, validation,
Big time.
and it's easy to get caught up in those things and then lose sight of what truly matters.
Absolutely. Take workaholism, for example. If you're pouring all of your energy into your career and you're neglecting your spiritual well-being
Yep.
or even your family, that can become a form of idolatry. It's all about misplaced priorities, allowing something good to become a god
Right.
in your life.
Yeah. So how can we identify these idols in our own lives? What questions should we be asking ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to sort of see if we've maybe fallen into that trap.
I think one way is to just pay attention to where you find your security, where you find your identity. What
Yeah.
are some of the things that you depend on for your happiness, for validation? What consumes your thoughts, your energy? If you find yourself always striving for approval, for recognition, for material possessions, then it might be time to really examine whether those things have become idols in your life.
Yeah, those are some really thought-provoking questions. And if you're looking for a community that will help you explore those deeper questions, a place where you can connect with God
Yeah.
and connect with others on a similar journey, we invite you to visit Pittsford Wesleyan Church. You can find details about service times and upcoming events on our website. Now let's move on to Romans 1:24-27,
Okay.
where Paul talks about God giving people up to their desires. That
Interesting.
sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is God actively pushing people towards sin?
Not quite. What this passage is really about is God respecting our free will, even when we choose to rebel against him.
Okay.
It's not that he's forcing us into sin,
right?
But he's allowing us to experience the consequences of our choices.
Okay.
Think about it like a parent who allows their child to learn from their mistakes.
Okay.
Even if it means that the child might have to go through some difficult experiences.
That's a really helpful analogy.
Yeah.
So it's not about God being punitive or vengeful.
Nope.
But it's about the inherent consequences of our actions. And this brings us to the concept of choice.
Yes.
Which Paul emphasizes in this passage.
We have the power, right? We get to choose who we will serve, what our priorities are, and how we live our lives. And that choice has a huge impact, not only for now, but also for our eternal destiny.
Wow.
So choosing to align ourselves with God,
okay,
to seek his guidance and live according to his truth, that's essential for finding true fulfillment.
And I imagine surrounding ourselves with a supportive Christian community can play a huge role in that journey.
Oh, absolutely. It's so important to have people who will encourage us, challenge us, and help us stay accountable, especially when we're facing difficult decisions or struggling with temptation. It's about building each other up.
Yeah.
It's about spurring one another on toward righteousness.
Right.
It's about creating an environment where we can all grow in our faith together.
This concept of choosing our path leads us to the next part of the passage, Romans 1:28-32.
Okay.
Where Paul describes what happens when we reject God's truth
mm-hmm.
and we choose to lay apart from him.
Heavy stuff.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Romans 1:18-32. Mm-hmm. We've been unpacking some pretty heavy concepts.
We have.
Like idolatry, free will, the consequences of suppressing God's truth.
It's deep stuff, but, you know, it's important to remember that Paul isn't writing this to condemn us.
Right.
He's writing this to awaken us, you know, to awaken us to our condition and point us in the right direction, a path to restoration.
In the last part, you mentioned that rejecting God leads to this distortion of our moral compass.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? What is Paul describing in Romans 1:28-32? What are some of the specific behaviors he's highlighting?
Well, Paul really paints this bleak picture of a society that has abandoned God.
Mm.
And he lists all these vices: deceit, envy, murder, strife, malice.
Oh, wow.
And these aren't just like isolated incidents of wrongdoing.
Wow.
It represents this fundamental shift in the heart.
Yeah.
This turning away from what's good, what's true.
It's striking how some of these behaviors like gossip and slander and boastfulness might seem, you know, relatively minor compared to like murder or theft.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell us about how sin operates in our lives?
I think it shows us how sneaky sin can be.
Okay.
It starts small.
Yeah.
With these seemingly harmless compromises.
Right.
You know, a willingness to bend the truth, to put our desires above the well-being of others,
mm-hmm.
and these seemingly insignificant choices,
they
can really eat away at our moral foundation.
Wow.
Leading us down a path we never intended to go.
It's like a domino effect.
Exactly.
One compromise leads to another until we're so far from where we wanted to be.
That's right.
How do you see this playing out in our culture today? Are there any parallels between Paul's description and the issues we're facing in the 21st century?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the rise of fake news.
Okay.
Look at the prevalence of online bullying, the erosion of trust in institutions, the obsession with self-promotion, and the relentless pursuit of instant gratification.
Wow.
All of these are signs of a culture that's lost its way.
Yeah.
A society that has turned inward, putting self-interest above everything else.
It's pretty sobering.
Yeah.
But it's hard to deny the validity of those observations.
Mm.
So in light of all of this, what role can Christians play in a culture that seems to be adrift?
Yeah.
How can we be that source of hope and healing?
That is the question, isn't it? We are called to be salt and light in a world that's getting darker and darker.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start by living out the values of God's kingdom in our everyday lives.
Okay, how so?
You know, demonstrating integrity, compassion, forgiveness, generosity.
Hmm.
We can engage in thoughtful dialogue, speaking truth with grace and humility and offering a different perspective to the narratives that are so prevalent in our culture.
So it's not about retreating from the world, but about engaging with the world in a way that embodies God's love, reflects his character.
Exactly. It's about being that beacon of hope, a source of healing and a voice of truth in a world that desperately needs all three. And, you know, even in the midst of all this, this seemingly hopeless description of humanity's downward spiral, Paul doesn't leave us without hope.
Okay.
The whole book of Romans is ultimately about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
This brings us to the heart of the message. the message of redemption. Amidst all the warnings and descriptions of human depravity, there's this glimmer of hope woven throughout this passage. Can you explain what that hope is and how it connects to the overarching theme of Romans?
The hope lies in the reality that despite our brokenness, despite our rebellion, God's grace is still available
to everyone,
to all who repent and turn back to him.
Wow.
Romans isn't just a list of rules or a condemnation of our failures.
Right.
It's a love letter from God inviting us back into relationship with him.
Okay.
Offering us forgiveness and empowering us to live a life transformed by his grace.
So it's not about earning God's favor
or
trying to be good enough, but about surrendering to his love.
Exactly.
And allowing him to work in and through us.
That's the beauty of it. We don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to God.
Okay.
We come to him as we are broken, messy, in need of his grace. And in his presence, we find healing, restoration, and a new identity as his beloved children.
If you're looking for a place where you can experience God's grace and connect with a community that embodies his love, I want to invite you again to visit Pittsford Wesleyan Church.
Come visit us.
We would love to welcome you with open arms.
Absolutely.
And walk alongside you on this journey of faith. You can find all the details about our service times and our ministries on our website. Now let's dive deeper into this concept of repentance. What does it truly mean to repent? And how does it lead to this transformation you were talking about?
Well, repentance is more than just feeling sorry for our sins.
Oh.
It's a complete change of heart.
Wow.
A turning away from our selfishness and a turning towards God. It's about acknowledging our need for him, confessing our sins, and choosing to align our lives with his will.
So it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, this isn't a one-time event.
Right.
It's an ongoing process of surrendering to God and allowing him to shape us into the people that he wants us to be.
So it's more than just saying sorry.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental shift in our thinking, our desires, and our actions.
Exactly.
So what does this transformation look like? How do we know if we're truly experiencing this change of heart?
Well, you can see the fruits of repentance in our lives.
Okay.
We start to see those sinful behaviors that Paul described earlier decreasing.
Right.
Instead of being deceitful, we cultivate honesty and integrity.
Okay.
Instead of being envious, we embrace gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate the success of others. Instead of strife and malice, we pursue peace and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't just outward changes.
Mm-hmm.
These are reflections of an inward transformation that flows from a heart surrendered to God.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So it's not about trying to earn God's love through our good works.
Nope.
But allowing his love to transform us from the inside out.
Exactly. And as we experience this transformation, we become more like Christ. We reflect his character.
Correct.
We embody his love to the world around us.
This idea of becoming more like Christ leads us to an important question. What does it mean to live a life that is truly pleasing to God? How can we practically apply these principles to our everyday lives? We'll explore these questions in the final part of our deep dive into Romans 1.1832. Welcome back to the PWC podcast and our deep dive into Romans 1.1832. We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we? From the consequences of rejecting God to the transformative power of repentance.
It really has been a rich discussion exploring, you know, those depths of human brokenness and the boundless grace of God.
Yeah. And in the last part, you talked about how repentance leads to a transformation that makes us more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful concept.
Yeah.
But how does that translate to our daily lives? What does a Christ-like life actually look like, you know, in practice?
Well, if you look at the life of Jesus, you see this pattern of love, compassion, humility, and service. You know, he reached out to those who were marginalized.
Yeah.
He challenged the status quo and ultimately gave his life for others.
So it's not just about, you know, inward transformation.
Right.
But about outward actions that reflect the heart of God.
Yeah.
How can we as flawed human beings strive to live out these values, especially in a world that often seems opposed to them?
You know, it starts by surrendering our will to God's will, allowing his spirit to guide our words and our actions. It's about seeking his wisdom in every decision and then allowing his love to flow through us to others.
So it's this daily process of dying to ourselves and allowing Christ to live through us. What are some practical ways that we can cultivate that Christ-like character in our routines?
I think we can start by just being more intentional
okay.
in how we interact with others. You know, are we listening with genuine interest?
Yeah.
Are we speaking words that build up or tear down? Are we extending grace and forgiveness even when it's difficult, even when it's undeserved? Are we using our time, our talents, and our resources to serve others and make the world a better place?
Those are some really great questions. It sounds like it's not about, you know, the grand gestures or the heroic acts.
Right.
But about consistently choosing love, kindness, humility.
Right.
Even in those small moments of life, those everyday moments.
Yeah. It's about those small acts of obedience, those quiet moments of surrender, those things that gradually shape us into the image of Christ.
Almost like weaving a tapestry, you know, thread by thread, day by day, allowing God to create this masterpiece out of our lives.
Yeah.
What encouragement would you offer to someone who feels overwhelmed by the prospect of living a Christ-like life?
You know, just remember that we're not in this alone. We have the Holy Spirit empowering us, guiding us, and we have the support of other believers, cheering us on, helping us along the way. It's not about being perfect. It's about making progress, you know, taking it one step at a time and relying on God's grace to fill in the gaps.
And speaking of community and support, we'd love to invite you to join us at Pittsford Wesleyan Church. We are a group of imperfect people striving to follow Jesus together. And it's a place of belonging, encouragement, and spiritual growth. You can find all the details about our service times and ministries on our website.
We really believe that, you know, when we come together, we can encourage each other, challenge each other, and spur each other on toward love and good deeds.
As we wrap up this deep dive into Romans 1:18-32, what is one key takeaway that you hope our listeners will remember?
I hope that they grasp the profound truth that while there are consequences for rejecting God, and those consequences are real and significant, his offer of redemption is even greater. No matter how far we've strayed, no matter how many mistakes we've made, his grace is always available to those who turn back to him.
That is a message of hope, a reminder that it's never too late to start over, to realign our lives with God's purposes and experience his love, that transformative power.
And as we embrace this new life in Christ, we become beacons of hope in a world that desperately needs to see his love in action.
Thank you for listening to the PWC Podcast. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. It's that time for worship, fellowship, and teaching. And as always, we'll continue to explore this life-changing message of the gospel.